I'm very happy to have Phil Kogan back on the show. He has almost been a semi-regular through the years that The Amazing Race has been on the air. That show debuted on CBS in 2001, and next week it will start its 29th season in a new time slot, Thursdays at 9 p.m. Central Time. The Amazing Race over the years has won 13 Emmy Awards, including 7 in a row for Outstanding Reality Competition Program. And I am a huge fan of it, as is my colleague Ian here, and we are really looking forward to seeing it back. So, Phil, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I understand I'm in esteemed company with people like Carl Reiner as a reappearing guest on your show. I feel very privileged to be back again.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Carl's going to be back with me next week, although he doesn't have a new CBS show coming up. So you have
Yeah, but he's a lot funnier.
So tell me about this new season. I hear that unlike in previous years, you don't have a pre-existing relationship, which my wife said drove the show because of the accumulated baggage of these couples who were together through all those years.
Well, please let your wife know that we're trying something that is unprecedented, but it will create very quickly some baggage. So imagine, you know, when you meet a stranger on the street or you meet a stranger at the store, generally speaking, people are very polite to each other, and there are a lot of niceties with people that you don't know, strangers, just because common decency has you, you know, be polite to people that you just meet randomly, random strangers. And so at the beginning of this race, we line up 22 complete strangers who are very, very different. And I would venture to say the most diverse cast we've ever had, because even when we pair people up in a pre-existing relationship, those people in those pre-existing relationships tend to have some commonality. They're husband and wife who maybe vote for the same party, or maybe they come, you know, from the same socioeconomic background as friends or their brothers and sisters. And so you get diversity among the 11 teams of two, but you don't get the diversity that you get when you line up 22 complete strangers who really have nothing in common at all, except for the fact that they're all there to win $1 million. So at the beginning of this pairing, where we put these strangers together in teams of two, there's a lot of niceties and there's a lot of being polite with each other. But I can assure you that after about 80 hours of being together and understanding that we shoot the entire season in only 21 days, very quickly, those pleasantries, if you like, go out the window, and that you have teams of two that are put together who really would never choose to pair up for anything, much less $1 million.
So who decided that each couple would be a team? Was it you and the other producers who said, you go with her, she goes with him,
no,
et cetera?
They decided themselves. So what we did, well, what we have done is we have set up a challenge where the teams are able to get a good sense of each other's strengths and weaknesses. So you've got to understand that when they line up at the beginning of this race, they don't know each other's names. They don't know where they come from. They don't know whether they're fit, smart. They can do a certain amount of assessment looking at each other, but they don't know anything about each other. And so in order to give them a fighting chance in terms of choosing the correct partner, we get them to do a challenge. From that challenge, those people who do well at that challenge are then able to make their choices before anybody else and pick partners that they think will work as a good teammate.
So we will get to see them getting on each other's nerves very, very quickly.
Yes, and I will tell you, the first couple of episodes, because remember, the first couple of episodes only take about 48 hours to shoot, even though we're spread out over weeks. Our show is shot in its entirety in 21 days, but you will see very quickly. By the time we get to episode 3, they're like you know, a bickering couple, or you know, if they start to talk to each other like, "Hey, listen, you can't speak to me like that. I need to be acknowledged as an equal teammate here. You know, we're only going to get to the finish line if you respect me and respect my choices. I need you to do this, that, and the other." So it creates a different kind of tension than we've ever had. Because as your wife says, normally people come into the race in teams of two with a whole bunch of baggage. Well, this is like new baggage. This is like, I will not be spoken to that way. I will not be operating this way. You need to change your ways. And so very quickly, you see the teams that actually do have some chemistry and those teams that clearly have absolutely no chemistry at all.
All right. Now, here's one thing I'm curious about, one of many things I'm curious about, but this one in particular is, if you have to pick somebody to be your teammate, do you at least get to ask them the most important question in The Amazing Race, which is, can you drive a stick shift?
Well, they all come into the race telling us that they are qualified to drive a stick. It's sort of a prerequisite that they must know how to drive a stick coming in. However, you will know, as somebody who is a fan of the show, when someone says that they know how to drive a stick, and believe me, they all have to say they know how to drive a stick, those qualifications vary considerably, and we've had people who really don't look like they know anything about driving a stick at all.
Yeah, if you want to be my partner on The Amazing Race, you have to know how to drive a stick and really mean how to handle a manual transmission. You also can't be afraid of heights, and you have to be willing to eat something incredibly disgusting. Right? Those are the three.
You're quite demanding, Paul. I could see you and Carl Reiner being a really interesting team. Maybe when he comes in next week, you could put that to him and see if he would be up to it. He'd certainly inject a lot of humor to the show, I have to say.
That's for sure. Have you added any new obstacles to this season, aside from the pairing, like anything besides the U-turn and the yield and other things that they encounter along the route?
Well, the obstacles are always the challenges that we get them to do. And, you know, we pride ourselves in coming up with new and different things and going to new and different locations. And so you're going to see some really interesting challenges, as always. We get to some fantastic countries. We get to Panama. We get to Zanzibar. We get to Norway. And Thailand. So we're looking at, Vietnam. So we're looking at getting to some new and different places. Of course, that's sort of the big selling point of this show. And I think right now, Amazing Race, more than ever, is more relevant than it has been ever. Because in this political time right now, when there's a lot of divisiveness and there's a lot of people talking about how scary it is to travel, and we're seeing a lot of this, you know, over and over on the news, I think this is a great opportunity for viewers to be able to experience what's right in the world, what's going right in the world, and for people to see different types of people, different cultures, and accept that that's really what America is made up of, and maybe, you know, help to perpetuate the idea that there is still a lot of good in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think travel is not just educational, but also can be life-changing in terms of understanding other people and their cultures. Now, that being said, have global politics impacted the production of the show?
No. I mean, there are places that we just don't go to. But look, we'd all agree that America is a safe place. But America is not the safest country in the world. And if America is as safe as we all know it to be, and it's not the safest in the world, then we know there are lots of safe places for us to go to. And I think it's important that we all get on planes and that we travel and that we push back against, you know, if you listen to the defiance of the British people against this attack that happened in London, that's how we all have to think. We cannot lock ourselves away and tuck ourselves away and pretend and become more and more divided and divisive with each other. We really have got to create dialogue and to travel and to push back against those types of evils and not let them take control, because that's exactly what they want. So, yes, I mean, we are traveling to countries that want us and accept us, but it's hugely important right now that we continue to exercise the freedoms that so many people have fought for, not just here, but around the world. It's hugely important. And we offer, I guess, in network primetime television, we offer an alternative to a lot of the negative things that you're seeing projected on televisions and various entertainment devices every single day, which perpetuate this idea of of fear. And we certainly need to be aware, but we must not lock ourselves away, and we must not stop talking to each other and sharing what is right in the world.
I agree, but there's no chance you're going to North Korea.
I didn't get the invite, and no, I don't really feel like making a trip there. There are certain places in the world that I just feel like we should probably avoid.
Okay, well, here's a question I can't avoid, which is this season was delayed. It was supposed to be on last fall on CBS.
Yes.
There was no Amazing Race then. Here we are coming to the end of March, and it's going to debut in the new Thursday night time slot.
Yes.
Please tell me this isn't going to be the final season.
Well, I don't want it to be the final season. I think, look, television is incredibly competitive. I don't think that the way that people watch entertainment has changed dramatically. CBS decided that they wanted to try some new and different things in the fall, and we weren't a part of that plan in the fall. Again, operating in a very competitive entertainment space, they felt that they wanted to try some new and different things. At the end of the day, it all comes down to supply and demand. So if audiences tune in on March 30th at 10 p.m. out this way, you said 9 p.m. Central, on CBS, if they turn up and they watch The Amazing Race, and I do believe because the show's on quite late and it's in a new time slot that we're going to get a lot of people watching over the weekend, so we'll get a lot of the plus three ratings. But if an audience turns up to watch our show and an audience still wants our show, then we'll be back. I mean, it's really as simple as that. It's just, if the demand is there, then, you know, CBS love our show. They've been very supportive of our show, obviously, because we've had so many seasons. But they've also got to look at whether the demand is there. So it really comes down to, will viewers continue to say, hey, we love the show and we want to keep watching it?
Well, you do have plenty of
you
do have plenty of loyal viewers, and after I plugged on Twitter that you were going to be on with me today, several of my listeners sent me questions for you, including Lori, who wants to know, do the same audio and video people travel with a team through the entire run, or do they switch with each destination?
So that's a really good question. So there's a cameraman and a sound guy with every single one of the teams. Now, obviously, at the beginning, when we have 11 teams of two, we then have to have 11 teams of two in terms of cameraman and a sound guy. And then as the teams are eliminated, then those crews either get folded into other shooting duties or some of them, you know, have a shorter run. They don't go all the way through to the end. But to answer her question, yes, what we do is we for fairness, we mix it up. So no one team is stuck with one cameraman and one sound guy all the way through to the end. Because, you know, there are variables with how everybody works. So we just try to make it as fair and balanced as we possibly can. And you know, our show is a show where it's absolutely about people's ability to get from one place to another. And we feel like we run a very fair race. We're sticklers for fairness and details on making sure that we run the fairest possible race. And that is obviously factored, the crew that they run with is factored into those fairness issues.
Okay. Jack wants to know how hard it is for you to keep things secret at the final stop in the United States.
That's a good question too, Jack. Well, we do tend to finish in a place where we have some privacy, but I think, you know, the world has changed so dramatically since we first started in 2001, where Twitter didn't even exist, where people, I mean, now people are live broadcasting us running through airports around the world. People, you know, and what I love about Amazing Race fans is even with the technology that's available, and even though many fans know what's going on with us, as a courtesy to other Amazing Race viewers around the world, they're very good at protecting us without, you know, trying to be the one that throws out a spoiler that ruins it for everybody. So we have really fantastic fans. Amazing Race plays in over 140 countries around the world. It's hugely popular, in many cases, way more popular internationally than it is even here in the United States. It's been a number one show in a number of countries around the world. And so we have a network, an international network of fans. And even though they have the ability to give things away, I'm trying to think of an occasion where a fan has deliberately given away some, a spoiler. Because I think people really, they respect the franchise, they respect The Amazing Race, to answer Jack's question, we do try to tuck ourselves away in some place where we can't, where we can't be found, and people can't necessarily see what's going on. But hey, I mean, with the way technology is going, we got to keep an eye out for little drones flying by.
Yeah, I think you do. And the last thing I want to mention, Phil, is I had the pleasure of meeting your dad, John, when he was in the States, and the two of you came into the studio with me. I think that was over a decade ago. How is your father?
My dad is really fantastic. He's going to be 75 this year. As you remember, he was on Amazing Race 13, and he greeted the teams with, "Hi, I'm Phil's dad. Welcome to New Zealand."
Yeah.
He was just on a big adventure with me. I retraced the 1928 Tour de France on a 1928 Tour de France bicycle. We've made a feature film out of this adventure. My dad came with me and drove the support vehicle, just like he did when I rode my bike across America.
Yep.
And this feature film, it's called La Ride, is playing in theaters all around the country. It just recently played at South by Southwest, and it's going to be the opening film at the American Documentary Film Festival. And I will be traveling around the U.S. meeting race fans through the month of April, starting at the American Documentary Film Festival on March 31st. So for any fans who are out there, I'm not getting to St. Louis with the film yet. There's a possibility that we may have a screening there, but I'm getting to all the major cities around the States, and you will see my dad front and center in that film.
Great. Well, I'll look forward to that, and certainly the return of The Amazing Race for its 29th season at the new time, 9 o'clock Thursday nights, starting on March 30th. Here's the host and one of the executive producers of the show, Phil Kogan. Always a pleasure, Phil. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, and do me a favor and please say hello to Carl Reiner and just say thank you for all the laughs over the years. I think he's just awesome. I love that he's a frequent guest on your show, and I'm serious. You and Carl on the show could be an interesting combination.
Well, now that he's 95, I'm not sure that we'd be as fast as some of the other teams, but we would be funnier.
Yeah, but he'd be funner than anybody, and I think he would outwit everybody. He's still got an amazing wit, and I love it. I love that about him.
Well, he'll be here on my show next week, and by then we will have been able to talk about your show, which debuts next week. And again, I appreciate the time, Phil. Good luck with the meetings with CBS to convince them for a 30th season.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna head in there right now and just say, hey, come on, guys, let's go with 30. Let's go.
Absolutely. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.